Okay. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Fourth Ball Film Talk. I'm the co-host, Toby. We've got Jagger here, right over there, over the seas. Yep.
Over here.
Today, we are doing Gummo, which released in... When did it come out?
1997?
Yeah, that's what I thought. And then Punch Drunk Love, which I think is 2002?
2002, yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to do Gummo first. First of all, Jagger, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I am very ill, but here we are. See that? Dedication.
Where?
I've got a little bit of an announcement. Jagger knows this. My films are going to be on Letterboxd tonight or tomorrow morning, which is exciting. It's not out yet, but yeah, I get my camera soon. Then I'm going to be filming it all. Should come out by the 14th of April. Mark that in your calendars. That is supposed to come out today.
That did not happen.
No, God, no, that did not happen at all. But it should be out on the 14th of April. I mean, that's what it says on the box. So hopefully it does. But yeah. But Gummo. So Gummo, if you don't know, is one of Jagger's favorite films, I think. You have it at 5 out of 5.
Yeah.
So we're talking about two of our favorites today. Punch Drunk Love is easily one of my favorite movies. Like on a rewatch, I just love it so much. It's so good. But we're doing Gummo first. Gummo is fucking weird. What the hell? You know, the one thing that Gummo made me think about was spaghetti. The spaghetti looked so nice. Oh my goodness. Whoever cooked
that scene itself was far from nice.
Oh God, no. No, the spaghetti. Whoa. Get that in my belly. Everything else. Golly gosh. That was just crazy. That was... Whoa. That... like brown water. What? And like, do you think they actually used brown water to wash themselves, or do you think they like just like colored the water? And like, what's going on?
I don't know. All I know is that those cats were real. Like, those were dead cats.
What? They killed the cat. I was gonna say how the fuck did it look so realistic? But they killed the cat.
Yep.
Half a star. Fuck this film. What the... No, I'm joking. What the hell?
Why wait till we get to come and see. Oh my god.
Nice. Oh my goodness.
I Rube Love as well. Oh man. It's gonna be fun.
Gummo's fucked, man. Gummo's fucked. What the hell? Well, to start off, Jagger, what are your initial opinions on Gummo? What do you think of the film?
Here's the thing, right? Gummo is a movie I love, right? Gummo's so weird and so bizarre, and there's never anything like correct about any of it, and I love that. It goes against all that comes, and it is extremely, extremely disturbed on a lot of levels.
Yeah.
One of my favorite scenes from this movie is the scene where there are two brothers in their kitchen that are just talking, and then they start beating, like, the ever-loving Christ out of each other while laughing about it. They were really beating each other up, too. Like, this movie was a liability risk on so many levels.
that was such a weird scene, man. They just introduced these characters to boxing. It was a good scene, though. It was a good scene. I liked it. You know what's funny, though? You know, Jagger, right? One of his favorite films is Saltburn and Twilight, right? And then you've got Gummo. Like, what? On the spectrum, they're not on the same spectrum. They're so far apart.
Saltburn and Gummo are comparable.
Mainly Twilight, though. Where does Twilight fit into it? You know who's going to spend $40? $40 on a Twilight box set. What the fuck? You know how much you could get with $40? You could get so much better things than a Twilight box set of 10 discs. Do you know what Jagger said? Jagger said, oh, but it comes with all the special features. What is this shit? It's fucking Twilight. It's
10 hours of Twilight special features.
No,
man.
You white girl. You're a white girl. Twilight.
Well, to bring in another scene to have a conversation about, that is maybe if it were to come out today, we'd get this movie so quickly banned. The scene with the kid in the bunny suit on the floor.
The scene with the kid. Oh, well, when he, like, at the very start?
No, not him sitting on the road. The one where there are the two kids that walk over with the fake guns.
Oh, yeah, and they just fucking shoot him. How is that bad? I don't get it.
So essentially how this scene plays out, for any of you that have not seen the movie, spoilers. Because honestly, there's no way I can give a spoiler for this movie. There is none. The way that this scene plays out is two kids walk over to a kid that's basically half naked with bunny ears on, laying on the floor, and they pretend to shoot him while screaming slurs at him for about 7 minutes. And the scene does not stop when you want it to stop, and it goes on for way too long. But that is the magic of Gummo. This movie has no cues. Like, it does not tell you when it's going to stop. It doesn't know when it's going to stop. And it doesn't have any intention on stopping.
I thought the whole movie was about the bunny guy, but he was barely in it. And why was he in it? What did he bring to the table? Apart from the bit at the end where, like, the two sisters just started making out with him. What the hell?
It's just supposed to be like slice of life, right? None of this movie has a real plot. So do characters add anything to the story? No, except for the fact that the whole movie is supposed to be weird and they make it more weird. There are two real storylines that play out for a long time, and then there are a bunch of stories that just, they're there for like a few minutes. I think the thing with Sol and his brother got really screwed up at that one point where they're in that house with the old woman.
That's his brother.
Yeah.
Wait, I thought they were friends.
I think they were brothers.
I thought they were friends. Because his brother, the tall... Wait, what was the tall guy called? What was his friend called? I forgot his name.
I forgot his name as well.
Well, let's call him Tall Guy. Tall Guy, right?
Yeah.
His brother was transgender, right? I thought they were friends. Like, he lived on his own. Well, no, Sol lived on his own with his mum. I thought they were friends. I didn't think they were brothers.
I thought they were brothers. Am I wrong?
I think so. I'm not sure. I really thought they were friends.
Their relationship, whatever they are. Sol and company, have company. A weird plot. They have a weird, weird plot that plays out in a very strange way. But furthermore, there is a group of sisters led by Chloe Sevigny that want to become strippers.
Oh, wait, what they do? You know, I was so confused when they first came on. They just had their tits out and they just put straps over it. And then they were dancing on the bed with their door. What the f- or door, sister? What the fuck? That is... Like, I was like, how did this get released? What?
So it's a group of topless women who put duct tape over their nipples and then jump around on a bed for a few minutes.
With a child.
With a child. With a really, really small child. Who then later goes on to hold up a paper cut out of Burt Reynolds.
Oh, yeah. And she's like, I want a mustache. Wah, wah.
I want a mustache. I want a Burt Reynolds mustache. I want a mustache.
And then they were like washing the cat.
How this movie exists, I do not know. Yeah, he wrote Kids. Have you seen Kids?
No. Tell me what it's about again.
It's about a kid, right? A group of kids. One of them's obsessed with having sex with virgins, and then they hang out over one day. One girl finds out she got HIV, and she has to figure out who gave her HIV. Wink, wink.
So it's just like Among Us, but with a HIV disease.
It's what?
Just like Among Us, but with a HIV disease. And the imposter's just got fucking sex disease.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, we're talking about Punch Drunk Love after this. Those two are not on the same spectrum. What the fuck?
So Among Us but Rape is written
Rape. I thought it was Virgin. Same guy who did Gummo. Same guy who did Gummo. Just think about
it. And
that
it makes so much sense, too. Like, it checks out that this was the same guy as Gummo, because who else could it have been?
Film's weird, man. Film's weird. Film's weird. Film is weird.
Yeah, when you watch Gummo, or when you watch Kids, let me know.
What is the thought process behind Gummo? How did you just get the idea of, oh, I'm just going to make this movie? And what does Gummo even mean? What is Gummo?
Gummo's just a weird-sounding word. It has Gummo. Nothing to do with the movie.
It just sounds like a sweet. Gummo.
This movie is far from sweet. My God.
I want some Gummos. That sounds like a sweet. What the hell? That's my new brand. Gummo's coming out soon. Shipping to the U.S.
Kids is rated NC-17. For what that's worth, over there, that's far past an 18.
Is it?
Yeah. Like, that has its own rating. Most of those movies are not even available.
Isn't R plus an 18? Is that what it is? An R plus?
No. Is Gummo an 18?
I'm actually not sure. I'll double check right now. I'll check on IMDb. Gummo is an 18.
That checks out. That makes a lot of sense.
Gummo's an 18. What, how? Wait, I thought it'd be a 15. I won't lie. Like, I also, here's my thought process when I was watching it. I was watching it, and then you said it was like really weird. I was like, it's not even that weird. I thought it would be worse. Like, Old Boy, I was like, oh, Old Boy can't be that weird. Old Boy was fucked, right? Dare I say, Old Boy was more fucked than this. Probably is. But it was weird, yeah, but I didn't think it was like really weird.
I think on like a disturbing sexual level, Old Boy's definitely worse. But when it comes to just being straight strange, I don't think it gets much weirder than Gummo. 100%. I think that the things in Gummo are just really off. And the thing about Gummo, right, is that when Gummo gets weird on the level you were expecting, it's like that scene where they're in the house with the old woman, you know?
Sorry. Oh. This is getting cut.
Rack. Is that one? It's weird, right? It's like that scene where they're in the house with the old woman and they're like talking to her. Like, that's weird. And that's the kind of weird that Gummo goes into.
The old woman? Oh, do I remember that? Near the end?
Near the end, yeah.
Yeah, what, when she's, like, sleeping?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
And some other scenes from Gummo that are notable. There's the scene where there's a prostitute, but she's mentally disabled. There's a lot of scenes in this movie that are just like, oh, come on, man, that's low.
Like, you know what was weird, right? At the start, just someone pissing out on like the blimmin', like just on cars on the bridge. It's just whipped out and started peeing. What the hell? It's like, that's not how you start film. That's not. Let me introduce the characters, establish where we are, not someone fucking pissing.
That's how you start this film. I mean, how do you start this film? Like, if you were talking, like, by standards of film, which this film is obviously sort of a kick in the balls to the standards of film. How do you start this movie? You don't just establish these characters in a normal way, because then you do a disservice to the rest of the movie.
Well, maybe you just, like, you establish the house, you know, Sol's house. You know, then establish him, then you establish his friend. Then we get the bunny guy later on. Then the brothers. Cut the brothers. The brothers did absolutely fuck all. They were there. Like, it was a good scene, yeah. They were there for that one scene. They did nothing. And that's my main problem with the film.
It's so weird that they needed to have it.
It's just like, why? They're just like, oh, these brothers, they beat each other up. And then they just start having like a 5-minute fight.
I mean, it's the same. Then don't watch True Stories.
Oh, I'm watching True Stories. Adding to the watch list.
See, the thing about True Stories, right? I love True Stories. It's top 20 movies for me. Oh, True Stories is... There's a scene in that movie where they're like, oh, the mayor and his wife, they haven't talked in years, but they still have a healthy relationship. And then it cuts to a guy having dinner with them where it's like, can you pass the mustard to the husband? All right, I'll pass the mustard to the husband. And then they pass the mustard around the table. Say thank you to the mother. And then they pass the word thank you around. And it's just weird cutaways like that. And then they start singing. It's really funny. But cutaways in movies like this that are just like, this is a town. This is what the town's about. Now that you've seen the town, go watch another movie. And that's all it needs to be for it to achieve the perfection that it is. It's the same as Jackass the movie, the first one. I have it at 5 stars because it's all that it needs to be. Later in the other movies, they really start to do other things that they don't need to do. But I believe in the first movie, it's just clip, 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 clip. And that's all it needed to be. This film does everything it needs to be, like in 90 minutes, punch, 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 out. It doesn't overstay its welcome. If this movie was like 2.5 hours long, then it would be like a half star movie.
Oh my God, Gummo being 2.5 hours. Imagine the hell? And that would, that would be awful.
It doesn't overstay its welcome. It's short. It's far from sweet, but it's exactly what it needs to be. It's a quick punch in the face and then it leaves because it's really weird and you have no clue what you're watching and it takes you several hours to figure it out. But once you do figure it out, there's something kind of magical about it. And I think that that's the beauty of Gummo.
Wait, isn't it like about a tornado that hits their town? And it's like,
yeah, it's about a town that got hit by a tornado and the people that survived are really... Because it's about like Xenia, Ohio, right? Yeah. Which is a real town that I think you can visit.
Okay, you should go there. You should see if it's like there. Take some pictures. Soul's house. Cheeky little picture. Pointing at it. But that's the Letterboxd profile picture. Gosh.
One day I'll go to Xenia. I wonder if that was a tourist attraction in the late 90s. Like people in like 98 would go to Xenia, Ohio and be like, oh, Gummo! And then
like, Gummo was here. You know, something I found really funny was, you know, like the guns when they went into the grandma's house, or like the guy who dressed up in like dresses, you know, near the end, and then they whipped out a gun and he's like, shoot her foot. I thought he actually had a gun, but it's just like a toy gun throughout the whole thing. And then at the very end, when they shoot the cat, I again thought it was an actual gun, but it's just a toy gun every single time. It just, I mean, I'm not sure I'd want to see them shoot a grandma's foot and a cat, but it would have been funny.
Here's the thing, though. When the cat's up there like a piñata and they're just smacking it with a baseball bat, that was a real dead cat. How'd they get away with that? I don't know, man. It's so weird. It's so good, though.
It's just... God, it's... I like when I went into it, I went with an open mind. It can't be that weird. It's one of Jagger's favorites. Surely Jagger hasn't watched that much fucked up stuff. The result is just
you'd be surprised. One day, man, we gotta get on like a call and we've just gotta like Fantastic Planet. Bo is Afraid, The Room. Just like knock out all the really strange movies.
I need to finish my Ari Aster. Gosh, Ari Aster, man, he's a weird fucking guy. Like, he needs a therapist.
He needs a therapist. So does Harmony Korine.
100%.
Have you seen Spring Breakers?
No. Isn't that like the first A24 film?
Yeah, James Franco, Selena Gomez.
I heard about it though. Like what's that about?
It's about a group of girls that are trying to do like a hot girl summer. And then James Franco comes in, who believes in aliens, basically makes them all prostitutes. And that's
that. What? Do all his movies include something about prostitution?
Yeah. Oh. What about his movie Aggro Drift? A movie starring Travis Scott, Red, and it's only playing at strip clubs.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that. What? I didn't know that was hit.
Yeah.
What is this guy, man? He's not real. Also, right, when I after Gamma, I was like, who the fuck is this guy? Well, one, I couldn't believe he was a boy. I thought Harmony was a girl name. Two, he's in mid-90s and Good Will Hunting.
Yeah.
What does Good Will Hunting and Gummo? What? They just don't. That's.
Yeah, no, they don't check out. They don't check out.
No.
Good Will Hunting's as far away from Gummo as you can.
Who is he in mid-90s? I
How
forgot.
do
He
you?
was Todd. I haven't watched mid-90s in ages. I watched that in November. I haven't watched it since.
And did you like it?
What, mid-90s?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was good. I gave it a 4. I didn't think it was anything incredible, but I thought it was
Okay.
good.
I have mid-90s at 1 star, and I'll explain. The reason I have mid-90s at 1 star is because you have to watch, like, do it in one day at some point or another. Double feature mid-90s and This Is England, and you will hate mid-90s.
I will, don't you worry. I'll remember that. You know, the one thing I didn't like mid-90s was how much they swore. Like, oh my God, it was so annoying.
And Uncut Gems.
I have seen Uncut Gems. Uncut Gems is 4 stars. I didn't get the hype around Uncut Gems, I'll be honest.
Wait, and you didn't have a problem with that, but you had a problem with mid-90s.
I did have a problem with mid-90s. It just annoyed me.
I
But like
guess.
they just swore so much. Although I must say, the final scene of mid-90s, elite. An elite last scene with like that song, passing me by, I think it's called passing by. I don't know, such a good song. And then also when he's like, the filmmaker guy, and when they're at the party, he's like, I want to make movies. I was like, that's a cool scene. You know, I was just fucked about mid-90s. He was he like 12? He's clawing a like a 20-year-old.
Oh, well,
What?
watch This Is England. It's stolen. The whole movie is theft.
Wait, they skateboard in This Is England? Did they
No,
pop an ollie?
This Is England. It's about like a young kid who gets picked up by a group of like skinheads.
Mm. Oh, they're
And
proper
then
Brexit.
they make him do a bunch of stuff, like as a younger kid. There's
Oh, yeah, no.
scenes that are word for word stolen, and the whole plot is stolen. And Jonah Hill openly said, when we started making this movie, I showed all my actors This Is England and told them to quote unquote do that.
That's bad directing. What?
That's bad directing. And I mean, Jonah Hill has obviously not directed too much for a reason, because This Is England, and then he directed Stutz, and people hated both of them, so they need to stop directing entirely.
I don't mind him as an actor, I'll be honest. He was good in A Wolf of Wall Street. I'll be honest, I'm not one who loves Superbad. Superbad's just
I love
bad.
Superbad. I know people,
Superbad.
there are people that like mid-90s, but I feel like once you've seen This Is England, it's a whole different story. And also the movie Kid, almost identical to Reality Bites. I mean,
What's
this
that?
movie's it's theft.
It's theft.
It's theft.
Damn, I did not know that. I didn't mind. Every time I go to the video store and I see or HMV here, and I see mid-90s, I always think about picking it up. That's the same with Dune. I always think about picking Dune up, but then I look like a bitch because Dune 2 just came out, and I'm getting Dune. I'll get it when Dune 2 is not popular anymore. So I've got taste. Yeah. They're impressed.
But if Gummo were to be made now, I think it would totally be a neon movie. Like, that just makes sense
Oh,
to me.
yeah, 100%, 100%.
It just feels like neon.
Well, I mean, if Gummo was made today, I don't think Gummo would come out. Gummo is.
Yeah, no,
Everyone would hate
you're
on Gummo. Like, four. That would be a lost archives film. My gosh. Like,
People
oh.
would.
I wasn't
Yeah.
expecting a masterpiece from this, but you know something I did? I like the writing in this film. I really like the writing. You know, something that they said was when they introduced the tall guy, his friend, and they said, like, oh, everyone thinks he's like the devil or something. But then you realize, like, he's a half decent guy and he, like, looks out for Saul. I was like, that's some nice character. You know? I like that a
Yeah.
lot. I was a big fan of that. I think it's well acted as well. I think it's really well acted. That wasn't one bad performance.
Yeah, no, I don't think there was a single bad performance either. I agree with you
No,
on that.
I think they all got what it was trying to be and what the characters were trying to be, and they did that, and it, like, it worked. It worked well. And, like, I feel like a lot of this film worked well. It's not like this is bad. It's not, like, I don't have any major critiques. It's just things that I'm just like, okay, like, the reoccurring characters that just did, no, not the reoccurring, the characters who just didn't come back. I was like, what's the point, you know?
Yeah.
Like, why? And then, like the bunny guy and the brothers, like, they were weird. They added a lot to the film, but as to the story, they did niche. And I was like, what's the point? I wish the brothers did come back, though. It would have been cool if they had, like, had some sort of story, or, like, they had an encounter with Soul and all that. That would have been cool.
I agree.
Also, the soundtrack in this film was... Soundtrack is cool.
Beautiful soundtrack. That is so great, because, I mean, it's... It doesn't, it shouldn't work, but it does.
Just like Jester and Chester.
Just like Jester and Chester.
I'm making a Jester and Chester reference every episode. There has to be at least one.
And I mean, like, the scene, to go back to the scene with the sisters where they're jumping on the bed, they're, like, playing, like, Dolly Parton. They're on that bed. It's like, it should not work.
That's, you know, I could list, like, a whole 14 pages of just all, every scene is a weird scene, man. It's like, oh, and also, you know what I found funny was when he was working out and he was just like, what? And he got the fork. Surely there is something in that shithole that is, like, weighs more than forks. Also, I thought this film was quite funny. It was very comedic. And, like, you know, when he is working out and then the mum comes in, she's tap dancing. And she's like, let me see a smile. And she gets a gun. Like, I will shoot you if you don't give me a smile. I was like, I just thought that was quite funny.
Yeah, it's dark. Dark comedy. Yeah. But it's fun. It's a fun movie. Maybe not.
That is a big, that's a wild statement. It's like, it's funny, but it's just,
it's like, enjoyable.
It's enjoyable.
Yeah.
Right, he almost has sex with someone with Down syndrome who's a prostitute. How old is he? Like, what, 14? That is not enjoyable. And then he's like, oh, and then she, like, calls him, like, a 2 out of 10 or something. She's like, oh, you're ugly. That was, do you think I'm pretty? You're ugly. Oh my god, that was so funny. That was uncomfortable.
It's a movie that exists. I think that's the best way to put it. It's a movie that exists.
What scene I did like, you know, when the tall guy, we should really know his name, tall guy, when tall guy was, like, with his dad and, like, it was all his friends, I really liked that bit. That was a good bit. And they were, like, all drunk and they had their arm wrestles and, you know, broke the chairs. That was just weird. What was it doing then? It was just good.
They're just breaking stuff, man.
Come on, man. Come on,
you recommend it. I think we should say that. Let's do this. Do you recommend it?
Go on. I'm guessing you recommend it because it's one of your favorite movies.
I'm going to say a comfortable be careful. Watch it. Don't expect to like it. If you do, cool. If you don't, was expected.
I would say if I found the right person who likes all this edgy shit, I'd be like, I found the film for you. But if it's just like, if I'm going to my mum and dad ever ask, like, oh, what film should I watch, Toby? You should watch this film called Gummo. What's it about? I don't fucking know. It's just weird. I would not recommend it to, like, your average movie person, but if you're really into cinema and you want to watch some, like, really edgy shit, 100% go for Gummo.
Go for this over Human Centipede 2.
Gummo is the Wizard of Oz compared to Human Centipede 2.
Wait, you completely, that's not me. What did you say?
I said Gummo is the Wizard of Oz compared to the Human Centipede 2.
I agree with that.
Yeah, it would be cool to have a Gummo DVD. I'd have that. Just to then be like, I've got some really niche shit. Would you say Gummo's niche? Or would you say, like,
God, yes.
You know, I thought when I watched Gummo after, I was like, surely not a lot of people have watched it. It's got 128K on Letterboxd. That's a decent amount of people.
Can I ask? Do you have like any access to Letterboxd in this moment in time?
Going on my phone right now.
Okay. How many views does Human Centipede 2 have? Because I have a theory of why this movie's out there.
All right, Gummo, just for context, Gummo has 145 views at the moment.
145,000?
Yeah, 145,000. Human Centipede. Okay. We're going for 2. 78K.
78K. Yeah. I'll tell you why. Word of mouth gets movies around. If someone on TikTok goes, I have a movie that's going to make you vomit, Gummo, people are going to watch it. And that's how that works. And it's never half as bad as people say. Like, people told me Saw X was, like, the most disgusting movie in the whole Saw franchise. It's not even close to Saw 2. And it's just, like, word of mouth. Get stuff around. Terrifier 2 would not be popular right now if it were not for word of mouth. Skinamarink would not be half of what it is if it weren't for word of mouth. It's all word of mouth.
Do people even talk about Gummo on TikTok? I sent you something the other day about Gummo. You know, I don't think you saw it, which really hurt my feelings.
I did see it, and I follow that guy. He's cool. But the thing is, I don't think a lot of people talk about Gummo, and I think a lot of people do talk about kids, because Corinne has a history with movies, right? Movies that people do not talk about so much, because a lot of people didn't see them. Did Gummo play in theaters? I doubt it.
You know the director, Harmony
Korine.
How come he didn't direct Kids?
Direct Kids? Because there was a freaky dude named Larry Clark who did.
Larry Clark. What has he done?
Larry Clark is a guy for another episode.
No. A Day in the Life.
Larry Clark makes some really screwed up NC-17 movies that should not exist because of moral reasons. But, I mean, he makes them. There's a 5-minute conversation in Kids. Like, in the opening of the movie. In the opening of the movie goes like this. Two people kissing. It's a zoom in of their mouths. And a string of saliva strings out between their mouths.
That's not terrible.
Opening of the movie. Not terrible, right? Then it cuts to a scene of two kids walking. One of them's really skinny and weird looking. And he's talking to the other kid. And he says something along the lines of, like, can I do this?
Go on. You got this.
I love when it bleeds.
What's it?
Exactly what about this kid's obsession with making virgins bleed.
Where do they bleed?
Can you Google that? That's not a conversation for... Oh, okay.
Where do they bleed? Where do they bleed? Is it like the vampire from Saltburn?
Exactly like the vampire from Saltburn.
He makes it bleed! Fuck, that is weird, man. How do you even make it bleed? What? How is that? How do you do that?
They explain it pretty well in the first 5 minutes of this movie.
I'm not gonna watch the first 5 minutes just to find out. When I get round to Kids, I'll find out.
And I mean, like I said, not to spoil anything, and this is not a spoiler because it comes out of nowhere. 8-minute rape scene. It's famous for that. 8 minutes. 8 full minutes. 8.
Ooh. We do not rate rape. That is bad. You know, there are some things, there are some things in film that just shouldn't be there, but then, like, 8 minutes of rape, that is bad. Like, that is...
It's really bad, and that's what Larry Clark is known for. That's his signature thing.
Rape. Yikes. Yep. How does he have it? Why is he... Why did he make movies? Why didn't he get kicked out?
What the fuck? He made a few of them. And they're all popular. That movie Bully, I have not watched, but I know about.
You know, we're talking about rape, but then there's just some innocent fishes, like, just swimming in the background, and it's just...
Don't bring the fish into this, man.
Are they your fish, or is it just a...
No, it's Roku screensaver.
I really like the fish. I saw Dory at the start, and I was like, whoa, what's Dory doing there? You think it's on a loop?
Yeah. Look at that, there's a mouth over there.
Dory!
Yeah, Dory.
Finding Dory is the most overhated fucking Pixar movie. Finding Dory is so good.
How do we get from kids to Finding Dory again?
Oh, because we're talking about rape, and then there's just some fishies just swimming in the background, and it's really just, it's not a fitting scene.
Things coming out of the... I'm back in the... Shucks. There should be a clan somewhere over there.
You know, I hope one day there's just like this really white movie that just says all the white people saying. Ah, shucks. I'm as happy as Larry.
That's going to leave a mark tomorrow. That's going to leave a mark.
You're cruising for a bruising.
I like my coffee iced.
White people would say that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Often. Frequent. Yeah. The true white people
movie. Golly gosh.
Golly gosh, yeah.
Sorry, we're supposed to be talking about Gummo. Not white
people. Don't be such a Debbie Down. What?
We're supposed to be talking about Gummo, not listing white people's names.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Gummo.
Gummo. Gummo is a solid 4 out of 5.
Gummo's a 5 out of 5 because it is what it is. Punch Drunk Love now.
Oh, hide the Criterion. It's not fair, man. I don't have it. I tried to find it the other day. I did come find it.
Since this is a Criterion, I can do this. Put this here. And now.
Bully. Love that movie. Do you wanna start off with Punch Drunk Love, or do you want me to do it?
Let's just start with initial thoughts. Punch Drunk Love is a really, really awkward movie. It's really awkward, it's really anxiety inducing. That's what Paul Thomas Anderson does. What are your initial thoughts when you first watched Punch Drunk Love?
Right, so I watched Punch Drunk Love at the start of this month. Right. So I've seen it twice now.
Yeah.
Punch Drunk Love is a perfect film. And prior to Punch Drunk Love, I watched There Will Be Blood and The Phantom Thread. And I wouldn't say I was a massive PTA guy. Like, There Will Be Blood was really good. It was a bit boring, though. It was like some bits lost me, but, you know, solid 4.5. Phantom Thread, I was not a big fan. I had that at 3.5. But I feel like, in a way, Punch Drunk Love and Phantom Thread are really similar. So I kind of want to rewatch Phantom Thread. But so going, I was like, this is, I didn't have a lot of time. I was like, Phantom Thread, no, not Phantom Thread. Punch Drunk Love, 1.5 hours. It'll fly by, right? This was some of the most tense film I think I've ever watched. Oh my God. The amount of tension and anxiety you feel in an hour 40 is just crazy. It does so much, so fast. It's pushing an hour 35, I think. It's
95. Like
an hour 35. Like, that is crazy. Adam Sandler, 100%, gives one of my favorite performances. He is, he was incredible, man. He was so good. Everyone's really good, though, but obviously he stole the show. I have this as a perfect film. I really do think it's perfect. I think everything about it is perfect. It's a great unconventional love story, and it's also kind of a great thriller in a way. Like, it's oh my God, it's so good. And also, like, the score. I do listen to score. I've got a whole playlist on Spotify of score, and then I've got a playlist on Amazon, just like my regular playlist. if a film score gets added to that playlist, you know it's great. Punch Drunk Love, the whole thing's there. It's such a good soundtrack, such a good playlist. No playlist, such a good score. It's so good. And oh my god, does this film look so good? It looks so nice.
The cinematography is incredible. I'm gonna say performance here is not so much Adam Sandler as it is Phil Cy Hoffman. Oh. Philip Seymour Hoffman's performance in this movie is incredible.
He was probably in it for like 10 minutes max. Shut up. Oh my goodness. He was so good.
Philip Seymour Hoffman does not work very well in a leading role, but when Philip Seymour Hoffman gets a supporting actor role, he cooks. Boogie Nights? Oh my god. I know you haven't seen it, but he is incredible in Boogie Nights. So good. Boogie Nights is a perfect film for me. I think Punch Drunk Love is a low 5. I think it's like a 95, 96.
This is 100 out of 100. It is all I could talk about for ages. It's so good.
Care to explain the plot of this movie?
A plot? Okay. So, we've got Barry, right? What's his surname? Yeah. Barry. Is it just Barry Egan? Barry Egan, right?
Yeah.
So, Barry Egan's quite a lonely man, right? He's very business first relationships after. And he doesn't have two good relationships, right? So, he gets lonely one night and he calls a sex line. Turns out they were scammers. And he didn't want to help the person he was talking to, Georgia. So they come hunt him down. But now he's found a girl. So it's kind of just him. It's like a love story. But then he kind of has to like he has to try deal with the sex line situation. And they shouldn't go together. Works perfectly. It just works so well. That's the plot of Punch Drunk Love. I want to know what the title means. I have no clue what the title means. Punch Drunk Love. Punch Drunk Love. I don't know. But,
now, is this a 15?
Yeah, it is a 15.
That checks out.
It's not even that bad. There's just a bit of swearing and sex references, and then just a bit of gore.
Yeah, it's not that bad, though. Not at all. And, I mean, I would... This is, like, a family movie by any means, but I think that if you're watching a movie with someone, right, I would not say that this is necessarily... that this is a movie that you could have a little bit of fun with, but it's also anxiety-inducing enough to make it sort of, like, an enjoyable watch with people.
The comedy in this film really works. Like, so really the comedy, works. It's so funny.
And I think that on a lot of levels, this is a really technically impressive movie.
Like, dealing with
the cinematography that is absolutely otherworldly at points. Like, there's that iconic shot, and it's not the shot on here, but there's the shot where it's like, there's a silhouette of the two of Barry and
when they meet for the first time in Hawaii,
and it is so beautiful. Sorry. So beautiful.
You want about the one in when they meet for the first time in Hawaii, right? Where like they kiss and the shadows.
Yes.
Oh, teach me how to do that. Oh my goodness, that was such a nice shot.
Not to really like spoil the moment. They do a similar shot in Saltburn. That I think
bringing Saltburn into everything. Golly gosh.
Okay. Saltburn, there's a shot when he first goes into Saltburn and they have the silhouette shots. There's a few silhouette shots. There's also the one of him smoking and that flashback thing. And it's like the lights shining down on him. And I think that really a lot of those shots, not to say we're inspired by this movie, but I think this movie did a good bit for the world of technical filmmaking. I think Paul Thomas Anderson has done a lot for the world of technical filmmaking. He won an Oscar at 26. That's pretty impressive.
He's won an Oscar.
I think so. I think he won for Boogie Nights.
I don't think he's ever won. Let me search up.
He definitely won for There Will Be Blood, if not for Boogie Nights. Maybe the youngest nominated.
he's never won. He's been nominated 11 times.
He never won. Did he get nominated for Boogie Nights?
He got nominated for writing for Boogie Nights. He got nominated for writing for Magnolia. He got nominated for writing, directing, and then producing There Will Be Blood. He got nominated for writing Inherent Vice. He got nominated for directing and producing Phantom Thread. And then he got a writing, directing, and producing nomination for Licorice Pizza.
Really?
He should have 100% won by now. The things this man has done is
crazy. There's a really funny video, though, that I don't know if you've seen it, where Burt Reynolds lost for Boogie Nights, and he got really mad, and he didn't clap, and he just stared into the camera when it shot all of the nominees, and he's just like... And I love that video, and maybe he does like a... Oh my god, Burt Reynolds.
Then There Will Be Blood and No Country for Old Men come out in the same year.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, 2007. Yeah, I think it is. Honestly, No Country for Old Men, I would have that over There Will Be Blood. So that's like the thing is, right, with Paul Thomas Anderson, he's come up with such heavy hitters. Like, it would just be so hard for him to win because of the other nominees. Like, not like his aren't great, because they are. But yeah. There's always another favorite, and it's never, like, even with him, which just sucks. I hope he does win one eventually. Oh, his new film, Leonardo DiCaprio. I'm excited to see what he's going to do.
I mean, watch Boogie Nights, first of all. Again, just watch it.
I will watch Boogie Nights.
The fact
that's the one about like the porn. That's like porn, right?
Yeah, the early porn industry in the 70s.
Yeah.
Incredible film. I have had it perfect. The fact that he didn't win for that, and the fact that he didn't win for this, I mean, he should.
He didn't even get nominated for Punch Drunk Love.
Yeah. Like, this is a directing really, really crazy.
Oh, this is 100% some of the best directing I've ever seen. This is so well made, so well directed. Like, really, even a nomination. Really.
Genuinely impressive.
What came out in 2002, right? Let's have a look. What came out in 2002? Right, 2002. We've got Catch Me If You Can, Spider-Man, Two Towers, Chamber of Secrets, Attack of the Clones,
Stupid
The Pianist, City of God, 28 Days Later, Gangs of New York.
Okay, I take it back. City of God and the Pianist.
Oh yeah, didn't Roman Polanski win for The Pianist?
All right, Roman Polanski, bad dude. Pianist, great movie. Oh my god. Okay, Punch Drunk Love kind of got pushed off the table there. I mean, The Pianist is a crazy good movie, and City of God's one of the most praised films of all time. So, I guess that makes sense.
What year did Punch Drunk? No, not Punch Drunk Love. The Boogie Nights come on, 97, right?
Gotta be 97. Feels like a 97.
Yeah. All right. So we got. Oh, okay. No, this is a stacked year. Titanic, Good Will Hunting, Boogie Nights, of course. Jackie Brown, The Game, Lost Highway, Funny Games, LA Confidential, Cure, Taste of Cherry. Oh, Gummo. Wow. Gummo's there. Like, okay. those are some. He needs to pick his release dates better. Like, coming up against those is crazy. Well, should have been one for.
Burt Reynolds lost to Good Will Hunting. And I mean, when you lose to Robin Williams, getting salty over that, I mean,
Williams is so good in that movie, man.
Robin Williams is always good. I mean, Mrs. Doubtfire, not a great movie. But Robin Williams in that movie, man, he's good.
Oh, Paul Thomas Anderson, man, he's an unlucky guy. How is he not won?
Has Gus Van Sant won any awards?
Gus Van Sant. What did he direct? I know. Oh, Good Will Hunting. Good Will Hunting.
Did he win that year?
No, I actually maybe. Let me have a look. Good Will
for directing.
Yeah. Good. Hold up. I don't think he did. Let me have a look. Won two Oscars. No, he didn't win. He got a nomination. Who won?
Has Gus Van Sant ever won? Oh, probably stupid James Cameron.
No, Titanic's good.
It's not that good. Best. Did Polanski win?
Hold on. Let me see who won in 1997. Oh, okay, no, wrong one. It's 98. I forgot about that.
Speaking of...
Yes, James Cameron.
James Cameron.
James Cameron, yep.
Bag me with a fork.
Who else did you say who won?
I thought...
Oh, Roman Polanski. This is 2003. Who won Best Director in 2003?
Oh, no, I was talking about 97 when The Pianist came out. Or was The Pianist 97 or 2002?
The Pianist was 2002.
Yeah, Pianist.
Wait, what? Hold on. I feel like I've got this incredibly wrong. It's 2003 Oscars. 2003 Oscars.
Speaking of Gus Van Sant, everybody, watch this movie. Underrated gem. Let me pull it back a little bit.
Who is it? Yeah. Roman Polanski won in 2003.
Yeah, that's fair, though. Deserved. For everyone that has not seen it already, Underrated Gem, To Die For by Gus Van Sant, Nicole Kidman. Real good. Real, real good. Just got to throw that out there. If no one's seen it.
I mean, I don't think Punch Drunk Love got a nomination for any Oscars. Which is crazy, because if we're thinking about it right, so it should have got a Best Director, should have got a Best Picture nom, should have got a Best Leading Actor nom, should have got a Cinematography nom, should have got a Score nom. Costume?
I mean, that blue suit, man.
Yeah, and you know what I said? He's in the blue suit the whole movie, apart from one point where he's in a bathrobe. That's it. He's just in that blue suit the whole thing. Right. What? And then also the colors. Oh my god, the use of color in this film. Like, a lot of the time, Barry, he's like blues reflected onto him. And then with what's Emily Watson's character called? I forgot. Hold up, I should know this.
Lena.
Yeah, Lena. Lena, like a lot of reds reflected onto her. And like the use of colors just contrast together so well. Like, oh, and. The camera work, man. Oh, it's beautiful. It's actually beautiful. And like the whole sex line scene is just one take. No
cuts. How did this not get nominated for Best Cinematography?
I know, that is a crime, man. Like, and Adam Sandler, I'm sorry. I know I'm dick riding him. Adam Sandler was so good. Like, he did a whole... Like, how long do you think the sex line scene was when he's on the phone to Georgia? Like, at least a good, what, seven minutes?
Six, 7 minutes, yeah.
Yeah.
That feels right.
All one take. I mean, that is some really impressive shit. That the whole sex line scene, one take. That is such good choreography. Like,
it feels like a play almost. You know that movie on exactly. Boiling Point? It's all one take.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, Boiling Point is great.
Yeah.
But oh my god, like, I mean, some directors probably would have just done multiple cuts, but we feel like we're there, and it just draws us so much in, and we get more. And honestly, yeah, the film does so well. I thought this film would be about him like handling his business, and he meets a girl who's like a sex line worker, and then they date. No, God, no. It just takes such a curveball, throws it right back in your face. She's a bitch, and now they're trying to fucking like take his money. Like, oh, and also, oh, the writing. I think this is one of the best written films ever. I actually Agreed. Wrote some stuff down here that he said. When he's at his sister's house, he says, they ask him, like, how's business? Business is very food. I think he said, it's supposed to be funny, but I also think there's a deeper meaning, and I hate to sound like a fucking film nerd. But I feel like the deeper meaning is because of the yogurt. He's just thinking about all that pudding, not yogurt, all like the pudding with like all the miles. And he's always in a business state of mind. He just keeps thinking about it. Also, I don't have my 14 pages this time. I only got one because I mean, I don't need 14 pages. In the sex line scene, back to that, he should have known that this was a scam because, so obviously, right, Georgia, and like, not to say that they're dumb. But people in the sex line business probably aren't the smartest, right? They're not incredibly smart. So when he says, like, he's just like, oh, is it confidential? So when he says it's confidential, and for the first time, Georgia says, what do you mean? She doesn't know what confidential means. So, like, how, like, he should know that that's a scam, but obviously he doesn't. He's just lonely. He just wants to talk to someone. What else? Oh, I can't read my handwriting sometimes. Also, the amount of, like, times that I felt like I just felt anxious, and the anxiety this movie pulls off is just insane. And then, like, it takes some movies like probably like 2 hours to do this much, like, to bring this much anxiety to me. Did this within the first few minutes, and that's just some crazy stuff that Paul Thomas Anderson's done there.
What I love about this movie is that some of the anxiety does come from fast cuts, but he also knows when to not cut, which is really what's so incredible about the phone sex scene.
Mm. Yeah. Whole one take, man. Like, that is, oh, it's crazy. Like, the editing in this is phenomenal. It's just so good. And when I was watching it, I was like, this editing is great. And I was focusing a lot on the edit, and like, why he cuts, when he cuts. Like, you know, what does it do? Mm-hmm. It's such a good film, man. It's so good. I love it. I need to own it. I'm so annoyed I don't have the Criterion, and I can't buy it for probably till summer. Crippling debt, which is always fun.
Well, I mean, the last question is, do you recommend it?
Oh, 1,000,000%. I've told Tia, I've told my mum and dad, and anyone from now on who like asks me, can you give me a recommendation? Like, this would be one near the top. If it's like, give me a film that's short, that's good, Punch Drunk Love. I mean, I'm recommending this to everyone. I made a whole video about it. And I don't really talk about films anymore, and I'm trying to. But I mean, this film I had to talk about. Like, it's perfect. And I consider it one of my favorites. I considered it one of my favorites on the first watch, which I think is stupid, but now that I've seen it twice, 100% it's one of my favorites. It is so good.
Yeah. It. Yes, I recommend it times over. I recommend it far more than Gummo.
You'd have a much more enjoyable time with this
than Gummo. This was actually enjoyable by standards.
Oh my goodness, man. It's so good. I could make a whole fucking YouTube video about it. Well, I'm going to start posting on YouTube soon. Got a little Joker video cooking up. Why Joker misled me on the first watch. Had that at 5, 3.5. Oof, Joker's got some problems. Golly gosh.
All right. Well, we thank you all so much for listening in today. Watch Punch Drunk Love. Cautiously watch Gummo. Maybe.
Gummo is. Check out. I'd say check out. But don't blame us.
Oh.
I was going to say, don't blame us if you watch Gummo. That is not our fault. That's your curiosity's fault.
Yeah. Curiosity killed possibly you. So you can find me on Letterboxd, Jagger Film Fan, on Twitch, Jagger the Movie Guy, Twitter, Jagger Film Reviews. We might be streaming on Twitch soon at some point, so keep an eye open.
Well, that's gonna be sick.
You can find my short films, OJ Productions, on YouTube. And I'm gonna pass it over to you. Where can they find you?
You can find me at Letterboxd, Jagger Movies. You can find me on YouTube, Toby Sharps, no capitals, no spaces. And I think that's everywhere you can find them. And then obviously go OJ Productions. Knock Knock's going to come out soon. Add it to your watch list. It should be out either I think it's the 2nd of April. 2nd of April. This comes out on a Friday. So it should hopefully be on that box by then. It won't be released. I'll probably be making it by then, hopefully. But add it to your watch list, you know. And TikTok, follow me on TikTok, Toby Talks Movies. Come on now, almost at a K, 300 away, 300 away. That's fucking crazy. Almost at a K.
Get me to 1,000.
I'm not gonna be live streaming though. Fuck off. That's terrifying. Actually, I could bring you. I'll bring you there. That'd be cool. We could do questions on JT.
All right. Well, thank you all so much for listening in. We will see you next week with Trey and Evan. From the Average Enjoyer podcast. See ya.